sweat, endless life in a suplex. Future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams. Arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night. Mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might. From the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night. Every step, every fight, honing skills tight.
Future stars, destined for the fame. In the rain, they'll carve their name. Blood, sweat, tears, the unending game.
Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies. Arm locks, head spin, never compromise. Gold around their waist, the ultimate prize. Hustle hard, dream big, DeFalco's battalion. Ring warriors bred from lion's den, medallion. Every win, every loss, another step uphill. Forge their own path with an iron will.
Future stars, destined for the fame. In the ring, they'll carve their name. They proudly claim. They proudly claim.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here. On the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how's it been? Been a couple weeks since, the end of WrestleMania, and, it looks like things haven't slowed down a bit.
No, they definitely have not. I see you're getting some heat online for your AI flyers and stuff that you're doing. Hopefully, the DeFalco Files new theme song that said DeFalco 306 times. It's kind of like, you watch the intro of a show the first time, and then you skip past the recap and the intro after that. But yeah, no rest for the wicked. We had Future Shock this past week. We thought we were going to have off this coming week, but HyperX decided to really go all in on the wrestling, and now they purchased the license to air live pay-per-views. So even though we have to skirt around the FSW logo, we will be hosting it. Ice Williams will be representing FSW as the host. Nice. And we're also doing another three-count tournament. So we're going to be all day Saturday at the HyperX, and then the Friday after we're back for changing the game. So yeah, as crazy as Mania was, it was like, okay, hey, we're halfway there. It flew by, and again, it was a success on all avenues financially, as well as, I guess you could say, with the shows that we did, that everything went as good as could be. There was a couple of issues with the ring that we sent over for the collective, but it made it through the week, and we were all over the place. So yeah, definitely a. It's a shame Mania won't be back to who knows how long. But as crazy as it is for us, it was fantastic.
What do you think when you look at, going from that into doing a Future Shock? Do you think that you know, that upped the level of the people? You know, the talent, the, you know, the drive, were, did you see a little more hunger, you know, going into Future Shock, since now really these guys have to really step their game up if they want to, you know, get to the next level of being able to perform at HyperX?
No, actually, it's kind of disappointing because, you know, some of the higher end Future Shock guys, I had to yap out because they made no appearances. They didn't help. You know, we had a lot of work to do that week, and a lot of them chose not to participate in that work.
Right.
You know, when it comes to being a part of a show, sure, they'll be there. But, you know, Monday we had to tear down our ring at the school to put up a different ring for the shows. Tuesday we had to go to the GCW Collective to set up their ring. Wednesday we had to go to HyperX to set up our ring. Right. Thursday we had a bunch of shows. Friday we had a show. Saturday we had a show. And then Sunday we had to tear down after a show. And it was very disappointing that a lot of the younger students not taking advantage of opportunities that are there. Like, you're not going to be there Friday with that star-studded cast, and Saturday for Natural Born Killers to gather knowledge. And not only, it's funny because EJ Nanduka showed up to the show, and you know, Mercedes Martinez, a whole bunch of people showed up to shows to watch shows, but students that are expected to kind of help at a show that was huge didn't even bother to come. You know, congratulations to the to those who did get booked elsewhere. But no offense, but there wasn't Friday night 10 o'clock, Saturday 10 o'clock shows that they were a part of, unless, you know, maybe they shot over to the Collective to go watch a show. But other than GCW, there wasn't really that much going on at 10 p.m. So yeah, you know, I had to read the Riot Act, you know, to some of our guys. We have a Future Shock tournament, and I told some of the favorites that were there, you know, yeah, you may be a part of the tournament, but, you know, it's really hard to pull a trigger on somebody that I feel I can't count on, because it's the same 5, 6, 7, 8 people. You know, it wasn't like I expected everybody to be there Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and setting up and breaking down. No, man, you guys can't make one fucking appearance. That's pathetic.
Yeah. 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 And you would assume, like you said, either just to be around people who, you know, have done things in the business and pick brains, and or to just watch the matches, you know, and listen, when you look at that weekend and you go, my God, Leo Rush and Bodie put on a clinic, and you think of Bodie's age and you go, how come a 22, 23, 24 year old is not looking at the 19-year-old as like, if this guy can do that, I got to step my game up. I got to, you know, put forth more commitment. It's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, because, you know, you have the conversations, and it's the deer in headlights, and, oh, yeah, you know, I take responsibility, you know, next time. What next time, bro? WrestleMania is 2 years in a row. It ain't going to be here for a while. The opportunity to be around, and it's like, it's the opportunity. It's the same thing when it's like, oh, you know, a seminar. It's like, you know what? It's gathering knowledge. It's showing your face. It's like, if you think you have a skill set, invest your $99 into the Gabe Sapolsky seminar, because, you know, oh, it's a money grab. And you know what? Gabe does very well, 100%. But Bodie paid $99, but Bodie got extra work. Bodie got to be on last year's, you know, ID showcase. And because of that, we ended up getting him a match with Jack Cartwheel after the fact. And it's like that $99 has been made back tenfold. And again, yeah. I get it. If you're a beginner student, you may not want to just sit there because you're probably not going to get the match because you're not ready for it. But Jaden Cole, you know, immediately had his first match after that a month later. So Jaden Cole yeah. still has not even been in the ring. It's I think this, his debut is a year coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's already the No Limits champion. But he took it. He bet on himself, paid the $100, went to the seminar, got good critiques, but worked his ass off. Still see him. Still see Bodie setting up a fucking ring. Still see Ice Williams setting up a fucking ring. Who the fuck are you guys?
Right. Right.
Not even setting up a ring. Like, wow. So you go work the Delgado show at 4. You can't even stick around for 2 hours into the next show to help, just in case, just to show face.
Right.
And it's just like, you do understand, you know, and it's funny because, hey, on Future Shock, all the younger guys, they got matches. So what did they lose out on? Well, maybe they could have went farther in the tournament. Maybe the trainers would have put them more over to me if they felt that they worked as hard as a Marcus Anderson or a Phil or a Jester or an Excellence who, you know, in most cases aren't there. I don't put them over because they're there 6 out of 6 days. I put people who are over there 3 out of 6 days. But guys like Marcus and guys like Phil, and I got a lot of those guys the work at WrestleCon where they were getting paid, and they still managed to show up because I felt, you know what, they're going to represent FSW, and they're going to work hard. They asked about some people, and some people didn't make the cut because they only had 4 or 5 spots, and they had 8 people. Well, you never know. Maybe Joe didn't say, oh, yeah, he's a hard worker.
Sure.
You know, I've gotten opportunities with WOW, and I got back the messages of, oh, man, he works really hard. You know, Jeffrey Excellence was there 1 day, 1 or 2 days out of the 5 or 6. But I was told by the supervisor what a good worker he was.
Yeah.
But I already knew that. He just had other things in his schedule. So the key is rewarding those who do take that extra step. Because, again, you know, I'd yap at Oliver. It's like, oh, okay, Oliver, we needed people at 4:30 in the morning to show up to Channel 8. Man, Oliver's able to make every single one of those. But somehow he wasn't able to make setting up a ring 1 of the 6 days. Like, come on, bro. I get it. We did need help. We needed some people there at five in the morning. And you stepped up for that. But that is something that 100% benefits you.
Yeah.
What about when it only benefits you 20%? Where are you? And there's certain people that even though it doesn't make them get anything out of it other than being loyal soldiers, I have to reward the loyal soldiers. Yeah. And why be loyal if you can't, you know, you think I'm going to yap at Jeffrey Excellence because call time was 2:30 and he showed up at 3:30 one day? No, because he's probably the same guy who's going to message me and say, hey, Joe, I'm dealing with the kid. We got the babysitter. Like, he messaged me to tell me why he was going to be late. It's like communication is the key. When somebody's looking for somebody, MK hits me up. Hey, they were looking for some talent for PCW, you know, and I gave them a recommendation. Or when I needed to get Jaden Cole a match at PCW to get him out there because he hasn't really, you know, gotten a lot of opportunities outside of FSW. But he has been a loyal soldier to FSW and to me and when I need something. So when he needs something, I'm going to message Robbie, who's got the ear of Shawn Michaels, and they're looking to get tryouts. And harping on them. I'm like, hey, here's the link, Robbie, for the show. Hey, check out some of these guys. Here's the pre-show with the Mecca. You know, you want to look at, you know, the Mariachis, and you want to look at Live Danger, and you want to look at Pretty City. And hell, you may even want to look at the main event guys from House of Glory.
Sure.
You know, and then we had the scramble match that was made just so Robbie E can look at some young talent that they were trying to get tryouts, because yes, everything is based on my promotion, FSW, wanting it to be the best it can be. But when those outside forces are looking for things like Gabe Sapolsky or Robbie E or TNA needing extras, not as much as they used to in the past, but my number one goal is to try to get those guys seen in a larger, you know, bracket, and you know, seen around the world, getting opportunities for things to happen for them, because getting Solo Sikoa or Cross or Bay or Jay Vidal getting signed, all it does is promote FSW or the ID showcase, and you know, trying to say, hey, you know, what's it going to take for Brittany? I know she had some injuries, but man, she's right there. Gabe, what's up? Hey, what about Bodie, man? Guy's 18. Check out this match with Leo Rush. Check out his match with Jack Cartwheel, your ID showcase guy who's barely on the ID show because he's killing it at AAA.
Yeah.
You telling me him and Bodie couldn't kill it on a AAA show? Come on. So we know the talent that we have. We see our talent. We have world-class trainers. You think with AAA, where TJP is now a mainstay and helping agenting and now working matches. Yesterday, he does a TV class. Man, you think if he sees Jaden Cole lights out or he knows Bodie, just like TJP was the guy to get J-A-Y, Jacob Austin Young, into New Japan, and now Jacob Austin Young hasn't barely left Japan in the last year and a half.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you want to talk about what FSW can do for you. You got to put in the work, but you know, there's a lot of really good wrestlers that came to WrestleMania that nobody really knew who they were because they don't have that luck of the platform for them to be seen. Fallon Gray, she put over FSW. She didn't really have a lot of training, but she moved here and focused really quick. You know, not going to say, hey, only because of FSW. She was already on their radar, but she got herself better. Yeah. She went to a place where she felt she can thrive because now she can train with Brittany Brooks. She could train. Oh, wait. Zoe Stark's working to look to get back. She's there. Yeah. And Moz is there. And Gypsy's there. You know? Yeah. And how do you not get better training with people, you know, every week? You know, Chris Bay runs the thing, and Brittany's always there. And Zoe and Brian Cage and all these people that are rolling around our rings.
Yeah.
You know, you either take advantage of it or you don't. If you don't take advantage of it, you could blame me all you want, you know, because that's always the biggest thing. It's Joe's fault. Sure. I'm not a champion because it's Joe's fault. It's not because you didn't put in the work. Look at guys who have thrived over the last couple of years. You know, look at transformations of guys like Bryce Saturn. I watch Future Shock. Yeah. Look at Hops. Exility Josh. Weirdest name in wrestling. But, you know, Skinny Kid, you know, kind of had to deal with them a little bit, you know, pain in the ass. Like, listen, motherfucker, you know, you're behind on dues. You're not training yet, whatever. When you're coming here to help, it isn't hanging out in the back bullshitting. It's actually helping. And I saw him, and he had a good match with Brandon G. And the thing was, he's still not a big muscle guy, but he has got thickness on him now. He has gotten himself in way better shape. It's kind of like Bodhi, even though he's 18 or 19. You know, Bodhi has to continue putting on the frame, you know, for those opportunities.
Yeah.
And you have to do that. Bryce Satterneal, he'll show you pictures from last year, 2 years ago. You know, what a transformation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're putting in the work. You know, that's great. You put in the work. Even Zane Oliver Cannaday, you know, he looks like a monster out there. Now, there's also the part of being a valuable member and being around that really helps you get to that next level.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, speaking of training, there's a new opportunity in town too for training. What are your feelings on, you know, some of these, you know, well, incredibly talented
my
people?
My theory is, why would I try to promote for them? They're not going to promote for me. So their thing's their thing. You know, all of them, I gave access to at FSW. You know, I don't want to say, hey, I hope you guys do great, because if any students they get, that means they basically took them away from us. So,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fairest point. And that's what I was,
there's people there that I'm friendly with, and there's people there that I'm, hey, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. You know, because they all came through, you know, FSW. Yeah. So opportunities there. You know, people who are disgruntled always look for another opportunity. Sure. And, you know, the thing is, when other places have popped up before, they would go there because I was the one holding them back. And then guess what? They didn't account for anything because it wasn't me who was holding them back. Right. But, you know, if you think a fresh start is needed, good luck to you.
Yeah, sure. And then the other thing is you brought up Zoe. So what are your feelings on, someone like Zoe getting a chance now, an opportunity to potentially sign elsewhere and, get an opportunity to grow even more, because most likely that means wherever she goes, it's more TV time, I would assume, than she was getting in WWE.
Well, Tom, I reached out to Tom initially because, it just happened with, I still call her Lacey, which is the third name,
right?
You know, and he sent me a busted open thing, and they were talking, it was Bubba and LaGreca, about how disappointing it was because she had been cleared. You know, we saw her. She's been training with us, and she was ready to go. You know, I talked with Tom. They had some thoughts of what was going to happen. Some ideas were brought up, and obviously it never came to fruition. But, you know, the thing is, somebody worked so hard, and Bubba said it was like, wow, you couldn't give her one match and then say, hey, you know what? I think it's time to move on. But it's like someone put in a lot of effort. You paid her all this time. She's ready to go. Even if it's to put somebody over just to say, hey, you know, good job, hard work. You know, we're making some cuts. We think the investment isn't worth the cost, blah, blah, blah. They have the right to do anything that they would like to do, you know. Right. I've been reading and seeing different things, and you know, I got opinions on things, and there's fair points all over the place where, hey, because it was an issue I remember years ago with TNA, where when Jeff Jarrett stepped in, a lot of those guys got signed to contracts based on house shows. So somebody who I knew well sign with the company, and they signed for 60 dates, and the total was X amount. Well, they never reached those 60 dates, but they still got paid that total amount. Then there was another guy that got signed later who got paid per appearance, but he was also able to get booked on the indies. Now, the other guy was mad because he couldn't contact indies and get to keep the money. He did right. with us because he was working with us for a long time. But we ended up losing him to a show because somebody went through TNA and booked him for 2 days at a show in California. So now they pay him, let's just say, $500. Sure. Well, that wrestler did not get that $1,000 because he hadn't reached the quota of events. So in his eyes, he worked for free, technically.
Right. Yep.
Because he was being paid way more per match. Because if you took his contract, he might have been getting paid, say, $700 a match. But because he only did 30 matches out of those 60, he was really being paid $1,400 a match.
Right.
Okay. But that was the contract. But then when somebody else came in, they were getting paid their X amount of dollars, but then they can go on the indies and charge whatever they wanted.
Right.
And it was like, did you want the guaranteed money or did you want the opportunity for that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, in the situation, I understand where now they're not doing as many house shows. And now you don't have to rent that car and rent that hotel room because you're not doing 4 days in a row. You're only doing two.
Right.
So now you're saving a lot of money. And now they're questioning the value of what somebody's worth.
Right.
Now the question becomes, okay, because we see it in football, especially football all the time. Baseball, it's guaranteed. Your money's paid. That's
right.
It. Yeah. But in football, it's a little similar to wrestling because even though you sign a 5-year contract for $5 million, you're not guaranteed $1 million if we release you because we have that option. So it's right. the same thing in football. Oh, shit, he signed – who was it? They just signed somebody. Oh, Kirk Cousins, the Raiders.
Yeah.
Now, Kirk Cousins is not playing for 4 years, but because of the salary cap, they signed him to a 4-year, $100 million contract. But everything is loaded on him being paid X amount the first year.
Right.
And because of the salary cap, they're going to release him anyway. He knows it. He's never seen that other $75 million.
Right.
Now, in wrestling, you've never heard that backward negotiation of, hey, take less money or we're going to release you, which happens in the NFL all the time. Hey. Right. It isn't like, oh, my God, somebody took a salary cut, because just like in wrestling, just like in football, your level drops. Right. So in the case of the New Day, when they signed the contract, they were A pluses.
Right.
Now they're bringing in new talent and the other things. They're not using them as much. They're not having house shows. Is it right? Is it wrong to say, hey, I understand we're making record profits, as does the NFL, but they're still basing your contract on what they feel you're worth. You made X amount of dollars, and that's why they're talking about guys like The Miz, guys like The New Day, because now The Miz is not a main event player. Miz is now a guy who is basically involved in situations to elevate talent, is what it's called.
Yeah.
So now is he worth that? Because that initial contract, after he became a star, he was underpaid. Then he becomes paid to what he's worth. To then, at the end of everybody's career in football, you're overpaid.
You're overpaid. Yep.
While in baseball, Albert Pujols is getting paid $40 million, and now he's a 250 hitter, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're paying him $40 million. So you can look at it a million different ways.
Yeah.
And Obafemi, who's going to get pushed to the moon, obviously, is probably what you would consider highly underpaid. And as long right. as he doesn't get hurt, the thing is, there's a good chance they will renegotiate his contract.
Right.
Because if he's got two more years, he's going to be like, hey, guys, I just main evented WrestleMania and I'm getting $200,000 a year. And yep. Brock Lesnar was getting $5 million a year. Can I get a little more money?
Yeah. Yeah, which is and which is how it should work, right? You know, that's what I think a lot of people, you know, when all these people are complaining about these releases, you kind of look at it and you go, first off, there's not enough TV time to go around, right? Not everyone can be on TV every single week on every single show, etc. Number two, yeah, it was great that, you know, the New Day was there for so long. Kofi made 20 years. That's wonderful. But what
look at R-Truth.
Yeah. Like,
they released him and then they signed him back to not really use him. Now, yeah, I guess right. I guess they felt they needed to do something and now they're in the tag team. But look at Escobar. Like, right. And they re-signed him only to release him 3 months later.
Right.
Like, that is like some weird shit right there.
Well, I think and also it's the other thing too, where there's a lot more chefs in the kitchen, right? You know, there is a lot more going on in terms of you have Shapiro saying one thing, Khan saying another thing, all this corporate stuff, and then you have creative, you know, it's something where fans are just not used to this, right? This is the first real incarnation. WCW was still pretty much, you know, you had your, you know, you had Bischoff or Russo here on creative, and then you had your network person right above them, and then the network people above them. Here it's just a company. It's not even the networks. It's literally the corporation. And
but let's look at that. Now, they own two companies. They own right. UFC, but nothing changed in UFC in anybody's eyes because Dana White is perceived as the guy who runs
right.
it.
Right.
And nobody talks about the Emmanuel, the Shapiro, when it comes to TKO, when it comes to UFC, because right. Dana White's the guy. And initially, everybody thought Triple H was the guy, but now right. there's been a lot of cracks in the armor.
Well, another thing here too is the uniqueness of wrestling, right? And that is UFC. Dana White's the guy who's putting together the matches that are legitimately fights. Okay, we can at least assume that there's no fix or no scripting or anything, right? Here, it's funny because I think the fans react so passionately because every fan believes that they know best as bookers and what would be the best for the company, and what they want to see is always the best compared to what makes money. So, you know, just seeing the fact that Triple H is in charge, quote unquote, but yet also has a writing staff, and then also has now the corporation on top of it. It's funny that in the Attitude Era, Vince chose the title of the corporation when really it was just him. And now you see what an actual corporation is doing. It's just very interesting that, you know, what is happening now, it's a new thing that no one's ever experienced, and everyone's saying how the fans are so ticked off and mad and et cetera, but yet they're still selling tickets.
Well, they're selling less tickets at higher prices. So even though, so again, anybody on this side will say, oh, what a fucking disaster. WrestleMania, it sucked. They had nobody showed up. It's like, okay, they had 100,000 people. I don't care if, you know, I don't know. So is 100,000 people over two nights better or worse than 66,000 people if they only did one night?
One night, right.
Because it isn't like the back in the day where, hey, everybody got this WrestleMania payout and who got based off the gate or the pay-per-view right. sales, because that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And the money they made from the gate is still more than they made last year.
Yeah.
And now what about the WWE world when you had to get an autograph with a bunch of people that got released a week later who's now don't even use that name, and you paid $150 for that autograph that's now worth $1.50. How much money did they make from that and right. the Undertaker? And oh yeah, it's reported Vegas paid WWE a site fee like they do for the Super Bowl now.
Yeah.
That they paid $6 million. And now it's funny because I'm hearing, oh, Nashville, they offered $3.6 million. Why wouldn't you just go back to Vegas for the six?
Right.
You know what yeah. I mean? There's certain places like in Nashville's become that kind of town. Moving Vegas from New Orleans, you would have thought New Orleans has that area. But I don't know when it comes to bigger venues like we got Allegiant. We had T-Mobile. They had... Right. You know, but everything was in the Fontainebleau, Mandalay Bay. Everything was in a literally walking distance
yeah.
to all the WWE events. And it's yeah. crazy to me to think, just like in the Super Bowl, it's going to be in Vegas in the loop. It's going to be in California, LA, SoFi in the loop. Miami in the loop. There's New Orleans in the loop. There's always those southern dome stadiums that are always in the loop. Yeah, brand new building.
Right.
So part of the deal, kind of like, you know, something with the NFL. There was a new stadium built coming up, and they're getting a Super Bowl because of it. And that's right. how Allegiant came.
Yeah, that's how Allegiant got it, too. Yeah.
You know, so the money that's being made is astronomical. Yeah. And I guess, you know, TKO spent billions and billions of dollars. Well, okay, if I pay $10 billion for something that generally makes my business makes $400 million a year. Wow, that's unbelievable. But if you paid $10 billion for it, wow, that's 25 years before you're supposedly going yeah. to get your money back. Right. So when people on the outside look at it like, oh, look at these motherfuckers, greedy fuckers, they're making $400 million. But they got to get that money back. Now, they got to figure out how that $400 million a year becomes $800 million. Now, how do we make it $1.3 billion a year? And how do we get that money back in 2 years? And we all know AEW was a godsend for wrestlers.
Right.
Because guys were able to go over there that may have run the road. Chris Jericho, you know, he's been there back and forth. Needed something different. The right. Young Bucks... Now we're hustling and making money on New Japan, but now they become $1 million a year wrestlers that at the time they would have never gotten from WWE.
Yeah.
And now you look at AEW and you look at WWE and you look at how many of these guys, you know, like, wow, Rusev gets released, goes to AEW to make a lot of money to not really do a lot. To go back to WWE, make a lot of money to not really do a lot.
Yeah.
And now you're talking Aleister Black. Oh, we don't want you. Well, if Tony Khan likes you, nobody cares what one of the guys from Ring of Honor who's never on TV says.
Yeah.
Because if you're an AEW, I know a lot of frustrated wrestlers that are getting paid but yeah. not getting to be on TV, and they want to wrestle. Right. You know, our guy Brian Cage looking like $1 million, looking to get back. He's getting yep. paid, but he wants to be on TV, right. and he has every right to be. But there's so many people that you get hurt, you get out of the loop, just with the little company FSW is. You see yep. a guy, and hey, he's been a champion for a year. G Sharp. Well, he loses the title. Now he's going to Europe. There's no rush. The idea for right. Sharp is at the anniversary show, he's ready to come back. But he won't be on two or three shows because there's so many other hungry, worthy people available. You know, we got a show changing the game May 15th. Mariachi Montaña, they're our champions, and they're Santino's champions, and they booked that show before we did. Hey, Joe, we're really sorry, but we're booked. Hey, well, you know what? We got to get X amount of matches. You know what? We're going to give some new people like Live Danger an opportunity, who I like a lot, against Pretty City Express. And we got BYTJP working in a tag against, you know, Luke Curtis and Bryce Saturn. So yeah. guess what? Now opportunities are had that if the Mariachis were available, I would have probably figured out something for them over a right. Live Danger. But I want to give Live Danger a shot. So it made that opportunity be able to happen.
Yeah.
So imagine when you have 100 people and there's 30 right. spots. I cry, we got 50 people for 20 spots, 25 right. spots. AEW, they got 150 people. Yeah, look how many really good guys. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever happened to that Wardlow guy who was a nobody, got over huge, the crowd loved him, and then he disappeared.
Yeah.
Then he came back, and then he got hurt.
Right.
You know, I never wish anything on anybody getting injured and things like that, but it's like Matt Vandergriff. Multi-time yeah. champion in FSW. It's like, it's horrible that he's still injured and he's still not ready to come back, because the minute he is, I have to find a spot for him. But yeah. right now I know I don't need to worry about finding a spot for him.
Right.
Because of the injury. Yeah. But he's a guy that maybe because of his injury, it gave Jaden Cole or Fox or AJ or those guys a little in that they got to take advantage of. And it did, because it gave Fox and AJ an opportunity, because there was injuries in the tag team division.
Right.
And they kind of slid in, had some really good matches, and they ended up jumping ahead of Mariachi Montaña at the time, who yeah. everybody was looking at. Didn't think they were ready. But they just needed a little more time in the kitchen to cook. And now Mariachi Montaña are on the top of their game.
Yep. And, I mean, and you also, you know, Fox gets an opportunity, you know, for the No Limits Championship against Jaden. You know, so, you know, that's the other thing, too, is the growth as a tag team also led, you know, AJ and Fox to now break off and go into singles too, which is a lot of moving parts to play with. And another thing, when you're talking about this, is interesting, I think, too, is this. You know, you have Zamaya and MK. You are literally putting a manager into the ring, not because he's taken a spot, because the story dictates it. And that's the thing that gets overlooked a lot of times too, is that, you know, we're not just running wrestling matches here. You're also continuing storylines that have been going on for months and in some cases even years.
Yeah, because if you go back when we first came back at Diversion Amusement, that I'm okay to say the name of that place because they went out of business because they did shitty business.
Right.
But Jay Vidal and G Sharp was a mainstay program from that.
Yeah.
And as they came full circle, it will be revisited. Because the first thing G Sharp wants is a match with Jay Vidal. Yeah. And right now we are penciling that in because Sharp is in Europe till actually about 3 days before the anniversary show.
Wow.
So he's gone for about 5 weeks. And it's like, cool. Because at least he's doing a lot of work somewhere else and not just sitting on the sidelines, because unfortunately, that's what happens with some of our guys, because maneuvering and after losing or programs ending, now it's time to rebuild stuff. Right. Or, you know, tag teams where your partner gets injured and it took a long time for your team to get back together, like the Unguided. To right. where now it's taking a step back with Damian Drake.
Right.
And, you know, what's the timeline? Trying to get updates from Vandegrift and seeing what the timeline is for that and where Damian Drake's going to go, because everything was put back into that basket of the Unguided, right. our full-time tag team, to then take it away again. So right. it's like, okay, let's take a breather and now see where we go and where he can fit in the current, you know, dynamic of FSW.
Yeah. Yeah. And another announced match here, the heavyweight championship match. And, you know, again, you talk about guys, when you have opportunity and you are an FSW champion, and then, you know, something in real life happens and you're sidelined for the longest time, you know, Shogun is finding his way back into the mix. And he's an undeniable force. And you've got to come up with, you know, how to make sure that he still is someone who is out there and present. And getting a chance to wrestle Bateman for the championship, but just in general, that's great for Shogun. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity. And that match should be a pretty fucking banger.
Well, because, yeah, you know, so 18 months ago, he got into a horrific car accident. A lot of people, we all thought from what the reports were and what doctors were telling people that there's a good chance he's never going to wrestle again. And it was coming off Chris Bay breaking his neck a month earlier. And it was like, what the fuck is going on? And then all of a sudden, you know, he got out, he was in the rehab, and now he was feeling better, but everybody was still iffy. We finally cleared him to do something, I believe, last year at Survival of the Fittest. But we still brought him along slowly because it was like, you know, hey, you know, he had a traumatic, you know, accident. You know, is he all there? And now he is bigger, badder, in unbelievable shape. And it was just like, trying to give him a little at a time. And I know he was hungry to get in, but I'm trying to be safe. I'm trying to make sure, because, you know, everybody always wants to do more than they're probably should be doing.
Right.
And, you know, and him and him and Hero, you know, getting in the ring and training a little bit. And we really seem to feel that he's 100%, maybe 120% at this point. And it's like, you know what? We had Mania Week. What an opportunity it would be, because, you know, last time we saw him at HyperX, you know, he was in a scramble match. You know, this is a former tag champion two times. This is a former heavyweight champion, you know, rookie of the year. You know, he's done it all in FSW. And it's like, you know what? We didn't have time to build a storyline for Bateman because he just won the title because of Jay Vidal,
right,
and G Sharp. So, yeah. Who better than probably the best story in FSW?
Yeah,
having Shogun on the Vegas Strip go after the hated champion Bateman.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's funny too because you know you look at the flyer, you look at the faces on it. And, you know, you, again, it's like, you still got some faces on there that we, you know, still have questions of. We haven't really heard what's going on with a guy like, with San Lu or a guy like Juicy.
Well, actually we got the flyer out for that. We're actually going to have, the two biggest men in FSW teaming up, Duke and Juicy.
Jesus Christ.
Taking on Lights, Camera, Faction. Fresco and Watson. And you are correct. As for San Lu, we are still working on it, even though it's only 8 days away. There is that spot, and we are figuring out who we feel is deserving. You know, we're looking at a lot of names. We're looking at, you know, bringing somebody in, a name from the past, maybe a name in conjunction with San Lu from the past. You know, we're keeping a lot of good options. You know, we've reconnected with a lot of good people over Mania Week. You know, there's Duke Lawrence. You know, he'll be at the recount event on Saturday starting at 1 p.m. I'm not sure. I thought he was in the final match, but he's proclaiming he is the three-count champion.
Oh, wow.
Which is great to see because in FSW, he hasn't been able to beat any of the champions for a championship in FSW.
Oh, man.
Just noticing facts.
Oh, yeah, that's coming from Joe Duke. It's not, that's not coming from this end.
Just saying.
I want to know what the hell did Fresco and Watson do to get that match? Because, boy, that's...
Well, I think they got involved in MK Army business when Zamaya was getting a lesson taught, according to MK.
Oh man. Oh, that's gonna be oof. Man. Watson's been a true, you know, guy going out there working guys and giving his all and getting younger talent. And hey, you're gonna go against Juicy and Duke.
You know, that's a prerequisite. If Duke and Juicy come up victorious, imagine. Oh, yeah, what am I thinking? My bad.
That's right.
You know, that Alzheimer's slipping through.
Joe can remember something that happened, in 2016 between, you know.
I can tell you what happened in 1982. Moving forward, it was like, you know, you want to talk about fortifying the ring. Say Duke and Juicy win, you know, who wouldn't want to see Mariachi Montaña versus Duke Christ. And Juicy? My only concern would be having a ring that is fortified.
Yeah. Holy shit. That would be one hell of an entertaining match. First off, for God's sake, that would be great. And you're right. It could prick the ring. Title is so small. I mean, Joe thought it was a watch I was carrying around. Oh, Duke. Oh, you got to, you know, I think this is something that, man, when some of the guys find their personality, you know, you know Duke is one hell of a charismatic guy. And, you know, at first you kind of just see his presence, but then when you talk to him and you hear him on the mic, he's got that charisma, man. And It's fun.
Yeah, you're seeing it with Son Lu now as he's doing more promos. He's getting a lot more comfortable.
Yes.
You know, for a while it was like, you know, Son Lu was one of the top five cringe guys when they touched the microphone.
True.
Like, that's somebody turned the mic off. Heroes talking.
Well, that's the difference, man. And I mean, it's a little difference, but just that name change, right? That, you know, it's something else in that character now. It's another level, and he's finding who Son Lu is as opposed to who Kuro Lu was, you know? I don't know, it sounds, you know, cliche or you know, if you don't really understand the mentality of what a character is and how to find that development, something as little as a name shakeup can do that. look, if anyone knows, it's Sean Ricker, who's had, you know, five different names and different personas, and, you know, finally Ellen Knight.
Everybody's forgotten Slate Randall. Because he didn't want to change out his gear because of the SR.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Which is a great question, because if he does get released at some point, he's going to have to find another something that is LA to not have to change out his tights on that gear. So,
LA Day.
Late.
Or Late A for short.
Yeah, it could be Louisiana. Louisiana Day. Oh, man. Ridiculous. All right. So, again, coming up for Saturday, man, Three Count will open up the doors.
Did you pull our belt design for Future Shock that I posted today with the paint on it?
No, I haven't yet. But
all the plates are painted. I just posted it a few minutes back. Looks really, really good. You know, now all they got to do is connect the leather. You know, if we can quickly talk about it. Seven men advanced in the tournament. So we got Mondo Rocks, Gabe Rocha.
Yep.
Jeffrey Excellence, Adrian Rain, Oliver Kanaday, C4. And Brandon G
have advanced. Right.
And there will be one more match that we're not sure on what date it could be it could be a pre-show match on the 15th, or it could be part of June 6th Future Shock. There you go.
Yeah, that is one hell of a design. I love the sleeper hold side.
Yeah, we had two options on that. I said, he showed me that one, and he said, hey, I said, what do you think about taking those Future Shock colors? But then it just looked like a scene out of a Live Danger match. So I'm like, yeah. Let's go back to the black.
In a case, if you haven't seen Live Danger, there you go. which you know, I mean, again, hey, Live Danger, they win the tag titles. I think you do have to customize the belts to look like their gear.
Yeah, I might have to repaint the side plates.
Right. You know, in fact, with that tournament for that belt, you know, do you think that there is out of those names, someone who stands out to you as, you know, just, you wouldn't have probably have seen them in this potential position just a year ago, even?
Well, yeah, because it's Future Shock guys, and it's mainly guys. The only one that's really been established is Mondo Rocks.
Right.
But he was always in the tag team, and he was a former tag team champion. So as him and his brother broke off, he's been caught in the Future Shock loop. So he felt only right to include him in there because he hasn't had those opportunities in singles matches. But if you look, you got a guy like C4, for example, who has been doing tremendous work in a tag team with Dave Mizzani, experienced veteran, the First Responders. Oliver Canada, you know, he calls himself Mr. Future Shock. If you look at him and look at when he first started to where he is today, he is a monster amongst younger guys, you know, in there. And that's a big matchup. Jeffrey Excellence, he's been involved in a tag team, but in that year, you know, he's gone to Japan. He has slimmed down, gotten himself in fantastic shape, has always been a hard worker. You know, Adrian Rain, you know, he's gotten good opportunities, and sometimes he's looked tremendous, and then sometimes he looks like a rookie. And, you know, he's definitely got the potential to put it all together. The question becomes, you know, is he capable? And, you know, a guy who's slid under the radar, and I'll be honest, I call him one of our MVPs of Future Shock, Brandon G. You know, here's a guy, he runs the kids class, and back in the day, just being on a show meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
But now he's got confidence.
Yeah.
He's gotten himself in very, very good shape also.
Yep.
And even though he's in a tag with Ricky, who've been way more successful, he's also shined in a lot of the singles opportunities he's gotten. And he's a guy that if you're going to pick a wild card,
you know,
he beat a, you know, back in the day, if he wrestles Hops, you know, that's a match where Hops is going to go over because Brandon G is going to do something stupid and he's going to cost himself the match.
Right.
But he has become a wily veteran. He's become a very valuable cog. And as I said, he's the main guy to me on Future Shock. And, you know, it's not more, you know, he's a guy that I'm very happy to see because, you know, sometimes you look at people and it's like, he's not going to be your heavyweight champion. And some people are delusional and feel things. And it's like, you know what? Getting an opportunity and giving himself, and you know, he could have been content and being the happy jobber guy and just getting on shows, but he's worked his ass off to be better than that. And you know, he's not the biggest guy, he's not the strongest guy, but he might be one of the smartest guys because I'll tell you what, when he's in a match with somebody, he always makes his opponent look good. There's not enough good things to say, and I probably never said this to him ever. And I've said it to a lot of people. You know, I compare him back in the day. I said something to Nick Bugatti that so many people took offense to it that it was one of the highest compliments I ever gave somebody. I'm like, man, it's hard to move you away because you're like the best jobber I have.
Yeah.
You do such a great job of making your opponent look so good.
Yep.
And we did. And he succeeded.
Yep.
But it was hard because it was hard to find that replacement
for him.
And it's the same thing with Brandon G, that you could put, you know, we talk about the G-Sharps. Top guy, Watson, top guy. You know, Ice, top guy. You could put top guys in with people, and of course. But Brandon G's a guy who was considered the lovable loser. He's, you know, his win-loss, you could joke he's 6-94, whatever.
Right.
But he goes in there, and he doesn't frown, and he wasn't like, oh, you know, this kid who's barely been here, and he's going up, and blah, 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 and I'm going to be a miserable fuck. No, he did the best job he could to make that person look good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, and it's funny, it's, you know, you said you got a tag team in Greatness and Tenacious in which you have two of the absolute best workers.
That yeah, and Ricky's another one. Yeah. That Ricky, you know, could be in a better position, but he's a guy who really embraces his character.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen it with people. We had a guy in a dress for a while. He got so frustrated about being in a dress that 2 months later, he begged to get back in the dress because that's what defined him.
Right.
And nobody wanted to see these, you know, certain things that you might be capable of doing. It's hard to break out of that comedic fodder sometimes.
Right.
Yep. You know, and it's no different if you look in WWE. Like, nobody's going to expect Danhausen to beat Roman Reigns ever.
Nope.
But he has a spot on the show. And that's what's important. Being valuable enough that I need to find a spot for you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, oh, shit, I forgot about him. Yeah, I guess he's just not on the show this time.
Yeah.
Because you got to break things up. Everything needs to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. Good breakdown of everything. Okay, final thoughts before we wrap up here.
Yeah, we, you know, back every single month starting May 15th, we got June 20th, the anniversary show, Changing the Game, Bateman and Shogun. We got the No Limits titles on the line. So we got TJP coming back to team with Bodhi against Luke Curtis and Bryce Saturn. You know, we got Lights, Camera, Faction against Duke and Juicy. So we got MK versus, we got Pretty City and Live Danger. We got MK and Zamaya. You know, I can't believe, hopefully Zamaya has got some friends. You know, I don't know how many friends Zamaya has, but I know MK has an army to back him.
Yeah.
You know, San Lu will also be there. And we'll probably see, you know, have room for like one more match. So, you know, good chance some of our younger talent, you know, get to be in that ever popular scramble match.
Yeah, of course. Now, are you gonna can you rename like a scramble? Can you call it like the HyperX scramble and kind of work, you know, a new angle on the scramble because of the arena?
Yeah, yeah. There's always ways to do that. You like it to, you know, like a suicidal six way. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, you like to have that flow. You know, the Future Star Scramble, since it was FSW at the Mecca, it featured the younger talent. So yeah, you know, maybe we'll come up with, you know, can't use X Division because, you know, the Future X Scramble, you know. Hey, now we really need to have the what is it, the match TNA has that I love, the Ultimate X Match, Hyper X Match,
right? As long as you throw that word hyper in there, man, no one can touch it.
You know, the hypercidal six way or something.
You know, it
hypercidal scramble.
Is it a crazy thought because of the fact that they're, you know, they have the balcony up there? You could theoretically.
Well, we can't jump off it.
No, but could you theoretically run the X cross from beam to beam? And then, you know, have the ladder in the middle of the ring going up to the.
Well, we can look through it. I know Disco has given us, you know, inside plans because he was part of the design of the Ultimate X.
How to do it
with TNA. So plus when we set up the ring at the Palms, Rocky was part of the setup when we had to do the Ultimate X. Right. So he saw, you know, how they put the, you know, the thing around the ring posts, kind of like a trussing area. So he did see how it can be done. So I think it's more of like a trussing around it.
Right.
And then you can, and then you run it across.
Ooh. I mean, it would be fun to see. I'm sure the guys would be just biting at the bit to like, oh, can I?
Well,
can
yeah, I because we know there was issues with the Luxor, which is funny because the Luxor had issues with a steel cage show with the match, with the steel cage up there. But it's funny because they built their own steel cage around the bar in the middle of the casino.
Right.
But if there's issues with No Escape next year about not having a steel cage, maybe that's when we can come up with a Ultimate X type.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. All right. Well, and again, you know, catch the Backlash viewing. The watch party Saturday, May 9th is 3 to 8 PM after the three count tournament. So all ages are welcome. Food and bar menu is available as well. So come out to HyperX on Saturday and check out the first of the pay-per-views. And again, being hosted by none other than the former FSW champion, former WWID talent, Ice Williams, man. It's going to be a pretty cool way to kick off the viewing parties by having Ice.
Yeah, you know, great way to just keep wrestling fans know HyperX is the place to be. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you know, we're still planning on doing some other things, performances, entertainment stuff. You know, just got a message. I didn't see it. Mikey messaged me on the Facebook because I forgot my phone that I usually always bring with me. But Cross sent me an text message touching base about Natural Born Killers. And, you know, there's an opportunity to be had now that Josh Barnett is no longer going to be doing Bloodsport. So we had a really good turnout. And the minute I, you know, get off the podcast, I'm going to reach out to Cross and, you know, see what his thoughts and ideas. Because this past week, we did a catch wrestling tournament with Jake Shannon, who, if you look on Facebook, has like 800,000 subscribers. TJP's a follower. Blake Troop, who wrestles all over, he was part of it. Pat Miletich, a UFC Hall of Famer, is the commentator and president of their company. And it's called Shoot Pro Wrestling. And they're looking to do stuff. And it might be something to where maybe it's worth a conversation between myself, Kevin, and Jake Shannon. Because they're looking to do more events, and they really liked what they saw out of the HyperX. So this could definitely be something that, you know, you're hearing the first of it here, and maybe something big could come to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, always the possibility of bigger things, better things coming around the corner, and be great to see Kevin back. I think we're on about 80 days left now for Zoe Stark's 90-day no compete. So maybe we'll see, you know, Zoe pop up before she signs a new contract somewhere.
Yeah, I reached out already, my friend. You know that.
Yep. So, all right, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next week, happy wrestling, everybody. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise.